Okay, Parshas Yisrael. I'd like to ask you three questions today. Let's see if you get the right answer. And obviously, if I'm asking the questions, I think some people get the wrong answers. So let's see if we can remember what may be the right answer. Now, first, let's start with an easy question. Okay, which parsha are the luchas that we got from Hashem? Which parsha are found? What's the answer? What? Yisra? In Kisisa? Why in Kisisa? I thought they were in Yisra. Because Yisra are the first luchas. Yisra, we have the first luchas. The first luchas, we didn't end up getting. My Shrebin never brought it to Klai Yisrael. So he brought it down the mountain, but before he got anywhere near us, he threw them on and he broke them. We never got it. My Shrebin got them. But the rest of us didn't get the Luchas Rishaynis. The rest of Klai Yisrael never received the Luchas Rishaynis, only my Shrebin. The rest of Klai Yisrael received the Luchas Shniyas, which is in Parshas Kisisa. Usually, if you ask people which Parshat Luchas, they either tell you Yisrael or Veschanim. The Teres HaDibur is on Yisrael and Veschanim, but the Luchas that we received were actually the Luchas Shniyas, which we got in Parshas Kisisa. So, that's your second question. Which Luchas are more Chashuv, are more Nechbadais? First Luchas or the second Luchas? We didn't get them. How do you imagine? The first ones are more, or the second ones are more? There are differences. So which one is which one had a bigger mila? Each one had its own mila. It's like asking shidduch information. Everybody's good. The other one has its own mila. They're both in the yarin, but it's not kosher. It's a machlokes in Bava Basra. The shidduch is shiver luchas. We're in the yarin or next to the yarin. But the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Kisisa. Perek Lamedal Pasuk Aleph has the shiva, which luchas are more chashuv. So he brings b'shem ga'ain echad. He doesn't say his name. That this ga'ain echad said that the luchas ashniyas are more chashuv than luchas rishayas. He gave a few reasons. He said, first of all, the luchas ashniyas were given on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. The luchas rishayas were Shavas B'Tamuz, there's no special significance, Kedusha to Shavas B'Tamuz. And second of all, he says that the second Luchais mention in them the Lashon of Laman Yitavlach, which is a reference to Elam Abba, which doesn't appear in the first Luchais. And also the second Luchais, Klai Yisrael is Makabal Baratan. First Luchais is Kafalei Makagigas. So he says that the second Luchais were more chashuv than the first. So the Ibn Ezra doesn't like this. The Ibn Ezra says that Kol Tavara of Kol Rayyaisav Haim Divrei Chaloimais, Loi Maimon, Loi Meridin. That's the style of Ibn Ezra. He's always sharp. You know, whatever he's talking about is nonsense. How could you say that the second Luchais are more chashuv than the first? The first one's the Rabbeinu Shalom made. The second one, Tzolacha, Maisha made. How could what Maisha made be more Nechvadais than what the Rabbeinu Shlomo made? And therefore, the Ibn Ezra rejects the, he says, Rayyaisav, Hein Divrei Chaloim, Loi Maimon, Loi Meridin. He writes somewhere else on this, Ha'imer Kein Chayiv Shayoka. If you say it, you deserve Malkus. So who said, that was the Lachashis. The Ibn Ezra doesn't like it. However, if you look in the Medrash, in Shmais Rabbah, Parsha Mem Vav, it says, Hifkol Moshe Mitzdar al Shivrei HaLuchais. Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad that he broke the Luchais. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tzdar B'Luchais Rishaynais, Shaloi Hayu Ela Aseres HaDibris Bovad. Don't feel bad. First Luchais were only Aseres HaDibris. It sounds from the Medrash like this guy Nechot that the second Luchas will more chashuv than the first. And this is a second medrash in Parsha Mem Zayin. Chayecha eina ta mafsid. He said to Moshe, you're not going to lose because you broke the luchais. The luchais yishayna is vayayu ala seres dibris bohad, and now there's more. So the medrash seems to say, like the guy in Echad, that the second luchais on Mochashu, one shat, luchais in the Ezra's rank. There's a Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi is in the drushes of the Beis HaLevi. The drushes are printed in the at the end of Chemek Beis of the Tshuvas. And there in Drush Yud Ches, the Beis HaLevi says the Maila of, he says the Maila of the second Luchas. The first Luchas, he says, were given in a way that if you would learn it, you'd remember it. If we're going easily, the person would remember it easily. The second luchais were not ksava like him. They didn't have this inyan. Va'luchashniyim nischat shatzar v'yegiya gedayla la'alayndim. He says, go see, v'luchashniyim, learning comes with tzar and yegiya. It doesn't come easily. Nischat shalahem hashikha, the fact that we all suffer because we forget why we learn. And tiruf hadas, says that, that people get depressed when the learning doesn't go well. That's all part of luchishniyas. Mishen nishtabu aluchais nigzar aleihem shiyum edu tayra meteich atchak v'tirav hadas u'meteich kach schorei kofel u'mechufel oylem abon. Beis HaLevi says that the idea of luchishniyas is that learning comes with yigiyah. It doesn't come easily. It comes with hard work. And because it comes with hard work, therefore a person has something that comes with hard work, a person has a greater connection to, a greater adikas to. And whenever a person has a greater adikas to, the neila, his char is more, and his connection is more, obviously. The more somebody has a connection to Torah, the more it is. So the Beit HaLevi says, basically, like the Gain Echad, that the second lucha is more chashed than the first. And because it's made with this inyan of chativas. And kachim advarim, the second luchas amor chashuv, and tisisa's luchas amor chashuv. Why did the Rabbi Shalom plan to give the first luchas?
Was that the thing in the evaluation? That
everything
before the
tape,
everything
is
done, and then afterwards, one
flows through. Ah, okay. So the Yisai advarim is, Yisai the Rabban used to say that really everything is this way. Everything in the Bria is that there's the ideal, fantastic way it should be, perfect way it should be, and it never works out that way. And then later there's a pitfall, and then the person has to sort of pick himself up and do it the second best way, what I like to call plan B. Plan A never works. When you get to plan B, plan B hopefully works. If you think about everything the Rabbi Shalom did, was all that way, right? Adam was in Gan Eden, didn't work, so he got kicked out of Gan Eden, and then the Mabul had to take place, and there were Sarah Zerusay Machisim Uvoim, and there were 10 brothers that didn't work out until Avram came, and they were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael right away, and then they had the Ma'aseh Meraglim, they had to stay in the Midbar. Like the plan that they had when they went out of Mitzrayim, their plan that this Dar is going to come into Israel, it didn't work out, right? Every plan doesn't work out. You go to plan B, right? They said, Migdal, it's a Bayis Rishon, didn't work out. It's a Bayis Sheni. Even the Bayis Sheni didn't work out. You have to go to plan C, right? Somehow every single thing that's supposed to go a certain way, it never goes the first way. It never goes the perfect way. Things always seem to settle to a second best way. Your perfect plan, it never materializes. All the planning could be just so, but there's always disappointments. Kaviyachol, the Rebbeinu Shalom also had disappointments. The world was not the way the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted in his Kaviyachol, in his Hashkafa, the way he showed us his Hashkafa Rishayin. Rapan used to say, he would laugh, it says at the end of the Bria, the end of the sixth day, it says, Vayar Hashem et kol ha-sha'osa v'hine tov ma'ayid. Right, at the end of everything will finish. Right, Hashem worked 6 days and everything is perfect. So, perfect, not perfect. The whole thing It was a mess, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu went and he did a whole 5 days of Bria and prepared Gan Eden. So Adam will be created on the sixth day. And the Mishnah says it was like someone set the table, a big party, and before the guest comes, that's why Adam was created the sixth day. So imagine, you set a whole party and everything's all perfect and the guest comes and he comes in shikha, you have to kick him out. That's what happened, right? Adam came in and he didn't have to, you have to kick him out. So like the Bria didn't go exactly the way Kaviyachal, the way Rabban Hashem seemed to set it up. And the trees also, Rashi says, right, Hashem wanted to make eight pri, and it was only eight ice pri. The trees didn't listen. Like, one thing, Adam didn't listen. The trees didn't listen. And then the first day, Cain killed Hevel. Also, somehow it wasn't exactly the way Rabban Hashem and Kaviyachal planned it. So imagine, you have such a day. You work the whole time. You prepare a party. And then when the guest comes, you have to throw him out. And on top of that, someone kills someone else there. And not just someone kills someone else. The whole Bria was four people or five people. You know how many people there were at that time. And they kill one of them, kills the other one. And then you say, oh, everything is tight. This is exactly the way I wanted it. So Paul would say that. That's Kafke Mazvar. That's the way it is in Eilam Hazeh. In Eilam Hazeh, everything starts with a grand, beautiful plan. Everything nice, shiny, perfect mashav of the way things are going to go. And the plans usually afterwards, it just doesn't go exactly the way you had it planned. It doesn't work out exactly that way. I once read a nice mashal on this shotgun story. A shotgun calls up a fellow and says, I have a shidduch for your son. So he knows the shotgun. He says, listen, I'm busy now, I don't have time. He says, no, but the one I have, it's Rothschild's daughter. He says, oh, Rothschild's daughter? Okay, I'm interested. So he calls up Rothschild. He tells Rothschild, I have a shidduch for your daughter. So Rothschild tells him, listen, I'm not interested. He says, no, but he's the vice president of the National Bank. So Rothschild says, oh, vice president of the National Bank? Okay, I'm interested. So the guy hangs up. So now he calls the National Bank. Tells the National Bank, you know, I have the perfect vice president for you. They said, what? You can't call the National Bank and offer us a vice president. He says, yeah, but it's Rothschild's son-in-law. Oh, Rothschild's son-in-law, we're interested. So everything's planned out perfectly. You know, if everyone will just listen to the shotgun, everybody will be happy. The bank will be happy, and Rothschild will be happy, and the husband will be happy. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't, usually. Because these things usually don't work out this way, although they have shachanim trying similar schemes. It doesn't go that way, because you can't have a plan. The plans just don't... The whole Bria, everything, when it begins, a person is mashava tchila, a person has a mashava, how things should be. Things start with a newness, with a freshness, with chalaimus of what it could be. And then with time, a person has to go through a certain amount of disappointment and be able, the test of a person is, after the disappointment, to be able to forge on, to be able to go to plan B and to make it work. That's the test of a person being successful. And to have a chalom that the way you dreamt it is plan A is going to work out, it's min ha-nimna, it just never works out that way. Things don't... The Bria wasn't meant to be that way. In spite of Rabbeinu Shloimeh, Maase Bereishis, it didn't work that way. And by Matan Torah, it didn't work that way. And going into Eretz Yisrael didn't work that way. And being in Eretz Yisrael didn't work that way. That means that the normal way is that people have disappointments. You know, when you get in something new, anything new comes with a shininess to it. You have when school starts, so all the little kids have to have their new shiny briefcases, shiny new loose leaves, and shiny new pencil cases, and the freshly sharpened pencils. Like the first day there, you know, putting everything in the right place in the briefcase. So you know that by a week or two or three later, the briefcase will be full of cookie crumbs, and the pencils will be nowhere to be found, and the notebooks. Look back at your notebooks. Right, the first few pages, everything's written very neatly at the beginning. And a few pages later, you know, doodling on the side and some blanks. And, you know, depending on the year and the person, after a while, it tends to change. It doesn't look the same, somehow. Some reason, it doesn't look the same the way it is at the beginning, the way it is at the end. Isn't that depressing? It could be that way next time also. You know, it's always that way. It's that way with everything. You know, a young couple gets married, they have a nice, freshly painted apartment, and new furniture, and all the dishes are new. Everything's new. It doesn't stay new your whole life. It doesn't stay new. Furniture gets scratched, and furniture gets rubbed out. And then life, the newness, the freshness, the way the dream is, it's a very nice thing, but that's not what really things are made of. Things are made of reality out of disappointments, and being able to pick up from disappointments and to make it happen. My wife and I always laugh that when we got married, we moved into a two-family house. And we were the young fry, we painted the apartment, and we had new furniture, and everything new, and we came in, and the landlords lived upstairs. So we would come in, and the landlady would be upstairs. She was maybe half a dozen years older than us. She had a little girl pulling at her. She'd be with a tichel and a house coat, you know, all busy cooking with the baby in her hands, and a little kid pulling at her. And we were, you know, the freshly minted, you know, right after the chasna, sheva brachas, you're put together, everything is nice, you know, you're going to have and the clothing, right, before you get married, you got a chaperon, and everything new and fresh, and you know, there she, you know, so she was already like over the hill, right? 5 years later, we were going to buy a house. We had a two-family house, and we lived upstairs. And our tenants moved out, and someone here in the yeshiva was getting married, and they rented the apartment. And my wife said that she had deja vu. You know, the bell rang, they came, you know, they were fixing up the apartment, and she was on top of the steps, looking down, with a baby in her hands, and, you know, in a house coat and a tichel, and she was no making challah, she had flour all over her. And, you know, she kind of comes in, you know, the couple from downstairs, all, you know, smartly put together, and, you know, moving in and checking the painting, and my wife said, you know, it's only 5 years, you know, you get over the hill pretty quickly, it's like, you know. But which is better? Which is real. Which is real. It's real is the newness, the freshness. Real is when the furniture is rubbed out, and the furniture scratched. You know, I say to somebody who lives in a house 20 years and doesn't have kids that are gonna scratch up his furniture or do something. A normal life is that the shininess goes away. The lesson of Lucha Shnia is the lesson that even by the Bayer Yaelum Kaviyahu, Bayer Yaelum could run the world the way he likes. Bayer Yaelum could go with plan A. But he runs a world where plan B, a person has to be able to pick up from plan B. I said I would have three questions for you. This is your third question. Right, this one's multiple choice. Okay, you ready? Okay, when the Luchas were given, there were A, there was lightning and thunder. B, there were hundreds of thousands of people around the mountain. C, there was 3 days of preparation of hachana. Or D, there were all of the above. So which is the right answer? Huh? Anybody? Huh? I told you. The right answer is none of the above. Why is the right answer none of the above? Because by the Luchas Rishayness, there was lightning and thunder, and they prepared for 3 days, and everybody was around the mountain, and it was very exciting, and the Rishayness said some words, and they jumped back Yudbeis Nil. It must have been exciting to see. You know, everyone jumped back Yudbeis Nil and Parcha Nishmasam, that would be even more interesting. You know, imagine the Rishayness let us see a Kaviyachol, you know, a film of Matan Torah. It'd be very exciting with the lightning and thunder. That was all Luchas Rishayness. That was all in Luchas Rishon. Luchas Shnia was Vayered Hashem Ba'anan. Yisyati v'maisham. It was just Maishin and Hashem. Luchas Shnia was Ish Lo Yale Imach. Agam Ishal Yerad V'chol Ha'arav. The Luchas Taisa says in Be'ez, Afayim in Be'ez, that none of these things happened in the Luchas Shnia. Luchas Rishon was with this big. When I was a kid, there was they made a movie called The Ten Commandments. Don't be chash mechastro. I never saw it, but I can assure you that they didn't show Luchas Shnias. Right? Luchas Shnias is not exciting. What is it? Moshe Rabbeinu walks up a mountain. One alta yid alone, right? Hey, look, he is an 80-year-old man walks up alone. the Luchos Rishaynis, there was thunder and lightning and everybody around the mountains and 3 days of preparation and the whole shebang. That was only Luchos Rishaynis. That had no kiyum. The excitement, the show had no kiyum. What had a kiyum? It says, Dafka, because the Luchos Shniyah Sheninu B'chashoy, because the second ones were given B'chashoy, they were not given with all the pomp and the big eye-opening show, Kaviyachim. So that had a kiyum. It's a big lesson. The Luchos Shniyah have a kiyum. The kiyum is B'chashoy. The kiyum is what's done calmly, shtilahate. And again, it's the way with everything. The way with everything. What's done with excitement and jumping up and down and fun. It's nice. But it's not what has a kiyum. It's not what makes a person, not what makes a family a family. Beis HaLevi goes out to Dekach. Beis HaLevi asks that Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the in-between stage now. Usually a person goes through the first part of his life at two stages. There's a stage where you're a little boy and everyone talks to you about Kibbutz Avim and you barely listen. And then goes the stage where Mitzvah Hashem, you have your own kids and you start talking about Kibbutz Avim and they keep this Minigam Mishpacha up and they don't listen. And that's the way it keeps on going for Dairus and Dairus. But anyway, Kibbutz Avim, one or two Varetlach. First of all, Reb Chaim's Sharf of Art. Beautiful Reb Chaim. They say he said he was a little boy. I don't know how little he was. But you know that Kibbutz Av and Kibbutz Aim, if your father says something, your mother says something, so Kedima goes to Kibbutz Av over Kibbutz Aim. So somebody asked that it shouldn't be that way. Because the Gemara says in the beginning of Chulin, how does a person know who his mother is? He knows he's born from his mother's womb. Neman Chaya, the whoever's the nurse there, that's their child, but there's Neman to say that this child came from this mother. So Gemara Chulon says, how do you know then who the father is? So the Gemara says, right Bilai, Sachar Abalius, who is the father? The husband is probably the father. Someone asked the Kasha that if so, Kibbutz Aim should have Kedima to Kibbutz Av. Because Kibbutz Aim is a Vaday. It's the idea of Barura, it's 100%. Kibbutz Av is only Buster Rive. So something that's 100% that's Ein Safik might be Dei Vaday. Something that's a Vaday should have Kedima to something that's a Safik. Good cash, no? So Reb Chaim, as a child, said an answer. What's the answer? Anybody ever heard it from me? Or maybe you can figure out yourself. I wouldn't be able to figure out myself. He said, Gevaldik is Herod. What's the kasha that I'll keep it aim? The mother's kibbutz should have kedima. It's the mother's kibbutz that you're going to listen to her because maybe her husband is not your father. That's being mechaved your mother? To say that maybe you really have a different father? That's not her husband? That's kibbutz aim? It can be kibbutz aim. So, it's a sharp answer. It's a good answer. One more thing about Kibbutz Av Aim. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim by Kibbutz Av Aim by Oviv Rasha. If a person is mechuyav in Kibbutz Av Aim, I think you know that there are certain beinam machaveri the mitzvahs that don't apply to a Rasha, only to a Yisrael who's a Shemesh Shabbos from Yid. The Rambam holds that Kibbutz Av Aim applies to Oviv Rasha also. There's no Yid. And Taisus and the Tor holds that there's no Chiyuv Kibbutz Av Aim of Rasha, only of Tzadik. So there's a kasha on the Rambam Shita. The Rambam again is the one that holds there's a Chiyuv Kibbutz Av Aim. There's a kasha that the Beferish Gemara above Metzia. The Gemara says in the Sugi of Ribis, of Ezer Neshech, that if a father dies and he leaves over something, let's say a behemoth that he was today a beribis, do the children have to return it or they don't have to return it? So I've seen a moment that the children wouldn't have to return it. I once mentioned to you earlier this year that ribis is really chal. The moment is chal. The children wouldn't have to return it. But I'll keep it out, they have to return it. A practical gemara, Akibat Av, the father was a Rasha, he took ribbis. So the Gemara answers, it means the father did tshuva, and he just didn't get around to returning it, then you have to return it. So we see the fairish from the Gemara that what? That is a chiyuv kibbut av only if the father's inside. The Gemara asks, why do you have to return it? The father's a Rasha. So Gevaldik Akasha on the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ovav Rasha Yechai is and kibbut av ein. So the fairish of the Gemara says, why are you mechiyuv to return the ribbis your father took off kibbut av? Ah, he's a Rasha. And the Gemara answers that he's only he did tshuva. So what's the logical difference between that case? What's the difference between that case and the typical case of Kibbutz Av?
The
Ribbis
name Rosh.
What?
Ribbis name
Rosh. But the Rambam says you chayiv Kibbutz Av even if he's a Rosh. So the Lech Mishnah says that b'chayiv, the Rambam means b'chayiv, he has to be mechabedim even if he's a Rosh. That Gemara above Metziah is talking about Achar Misa. That's what the Lech Mishnah says, but the Lech Mishnah needs Hezber. Because Machabde Bechayev, Machabde Bemaisai, at least certainly in Kiveger, many Achrenim say that Kibbutz Av is even out of Achamisa. What's the difference if he's alive or he's not alive? So the Ratzvaz, the Pirush on the Rambam, says a beautiful chap for a teretz, a big chiddush. What's the difference if the father's a Russian, he's alive, or the father's a Russian, he's dead? My nafkamina. Listen to the Ratzvaz. He says, we know that if a person does tshuva me'ava, he erases all the averis from Afreya. All the averis he did become ois averis from Afreya. So after Radvaz, if someone's father's a Rasha, and he says, be mechabed me, and the son refuses, so he has a right, the father's a Rasha, he's not mechabed mechabed. But maybe 10 years down the road, the father will do tshuva. And the father does tshuva, he erases all the averis from Afreya. So it comes out at the time that he was supposed to be Mishamishim, he should have been Mishamishim. So therefore, why does he have to be Mechabed his father? The Rambam says, even if he's a Rosh, you have to be Mechabed him. Why? Because of the possibility that later he'll do tshuva and he'll come out with Afreya, he didn't have it in Russia. The case in Bava Messiah is Lachamitza. If he already died without doing tshuva, so he died without doing tshuva, so then it's too late, he's not going to do tshuva anymore. So now there's no Chiyuv Kibbutz. But the Chayav calls him and he can do tshuva, b'chalam afrei. That's a tremendous chiddush. Because if you want to talk about the lomdis, you could argue, if it makes sense. If today is a Rasha, 10 years from now I'll do tshuva. So if I'm not mechabed him today, today's a Rasha, I'm not mechabed. 10 years from now he does tshuva, the mafreya, the averis, the mechuper. So I was over and kibbut aveim to someone who's not a Rasha. How to understand, no? The shaita, I had a right to not be mechaber. But the Rav says this chiddush that changes all my freya. Tremendous chiddush of the Rav. All right, so it's a verbal or two on kibbut av ein. The tikkur I wanted you to come away with is the lesson of luchos rishonim and luchos shniyos. Plan A, plan B. It's a good phrase to know. Plan B, that things don't always work exactly the way you picture them, although we all hope that we should pack out Hatzlacha. Okay, even though it's Parshas Yishra, you could be Makabal the Torah together with everybody else and they stand up with the Aseret Adibris. Try to get a little bit of the Luchos Rishonim, if it wouldn't hurt.